this afternoon's session. And the first topic which will be presented is the commissioning and the first results of the Akulina 2 fragment separator. Andrei Fomichev.
Good afternoon, everybody. Let me inform you about experiments which were performed recently this year with radioactive beams at Akulina 1 and Akulina 2 separators. Here you can show you can see the layout of both separator, Akulina 1 and Akulina 2. And this year, at the first time, we realized advantages of two separators. Having a beam time at Akulina 1, we can prepare experimental program at Akulina 2. In the case of a first experiment at Akulina 1, when we don't need extremely high intensity, we realized a proposal given by Warsaw University. It's great pleasure to me inform you about physics case and technical challenges, which are published recently, namely last week in European Physics Journal. This is a first review article about Akulina 2. Here, this is a core team which participated in February company at Akulina 1. The idea was to study beta delay particle emission of boron 11. This is a long-lived nuclear and not so well studied in the case of alpha beta delay emission and proton beta delay emission. The other isotopes, marked by blue, were used for a cross-check measurement. It was shown that the method OTPC means optical time projection chamber, a gas volume which could see a decay scheme of studied nuclei. This method works well even in the case of long-lived nuclei. Moreover, new data with a good statistics were obtained for beryllium-11 and carbon-9 isotopes. Preliminary results are shown here. In the case of carbon-9, the standard mode was used. We see how particle decays during four times of half-life, namely half seconds. Here there are two standard scheme, 50 by 50 probabilities. Low energy proton decay and two alphas and proton. We obtained good statistics and this data will be analyzed later and I hope will be published. In the case of beryllium-11, long-lived nuclear, this scheme doesn't work effectively. We need maybe 1 month, maybe more month to collect sufficient statistics to improve existing data about beta delay alpha emission. So this method was modified and so-called saturation mode was realized in this measurement. Example of one event which contain 8 frames, namely 8 timing intervals around 600 milliseconds, provide us see decays of many ions implanted in the gas volume, up to 10 to the 3 events per second. So this is a scheme. Let's miss this detail. Nevertheless, we expect to have good statistics and a good new scientific results. Now, I would like to speak about first experiments at Akulina 2. We used CD2 target, deuterium polyethylene, And we had three runs, elastic and inelastic scattering of helium 8 on deuterium, briefly 2 weeks. Helium free reaction, one proton transfer from projectile on the target, 1 week, and one neutron transfer from lithium 9 projectile on the deuterium. In this case, we organized neutron coincidence in forward degree with proton in backward direction. This measurement was during several days. Well, here it's a typical quality of radioactive beams in the case of helium-6 and lithium-9 in the fragmentation reaction, it's shown here. We obtained a good enough intensity, 10 to the 5 particle per second, at this primary beam when Aquilina was fully open in intermediate focal plane. So having 3 millimeters wedge, we obtained very good purification at this energy, and beam spot extremely good, 70 millimeters in diameter. It's even better. It's even better than was predicted. So it's agree well with estimation, I would say. Having this beam, we start our experiments. Preliminary results of elastic and inelastic scattering at 25 MeV helium-6 on deuterium is shown here. We studied differential cross-section in a wide angular range, having 3 runs, which covered this range with this cross region to have normalizing. So we obtained good enough statistics, and here this is a setup. Setup was very primitive. Two arms telescope replaced depending of studied region. Here is the deuterium telescope and to detect helium-6 and helium-4. Well, the ID plots are shown here. Deuterium cut it with banana. In this case, we obtained coincidence between right telescope, and this data could provide elastic and inelastic scattering. This scheme is counts versus angle in lab system, where above this region are combined. So without normalizing on experimental efficiency and et cetera. So these data are under analysis, and we expect to have good result during the year. So for the our runs, this setup was modernized a little bit. In the case of D helium-free reaction, we put in the front of left telescope very thin silicon detectors, 22 microns, and we put above telescope close each to our, as it was possible mechanically, to provide a maximum of efficiency between coincidence of decay particles. So in the case of lithium-9 beam, we install additional another silicon detectors to register proton and neutron coincidence. Well, this reaction, D helium-free, was studied 1 week, during 1 week. It was a tool for the main run, which is in the plan in the end of this year. We have the same problems for buff reaction. First of all, this is DEE plot, ID plot to registrate low energy helium free in this energy region to provide a good separation from helium-4. we should provide coincidence between this helium free with tritons as a result of hydrogen 5 resonance state decay at 2 MeV energy. And of course, the serious question is triggering for the main telescope, which should operate in forward degree, so it's not trivial. Now, less this problem was resolved very good. We had 200 triggering at 10 to the 5 particles per second on the target. In the case of first issue, we first of all let me comment this simulation given by Evgeny Nikolsky. Here is angle of helium free versus angle of triton. Red box is efficiency between this coincidence around 70%. Here is energy versus energy, and ID plot, which was obtained during one day exposition for one strip. The helium-free is not separated good, so it certainly should be improved. We find that the thickness distribution for this detector is 2 times more compared with PASPER data. Here, this is a strip number and the distribution of the thickness along the strip. It's from 19 microns up to 26 microns. The second issue is energy resolution. Here, you can see good enough energy resolution for 6 MeV alphas for all strips, practically. So, when this mapping will analyzed, we expect to have a significant improvement of this identification and say more precisely about this coincidence. Now we say about 4 or 5 events per day. It's a good coincidence with estimation. Well, now I would like to show you estimation for the main run, which focused on to observe hydrogen 7 extremely high isotopes at the same reaction. Here's estimation, calculation given by Roman Wolski, which is normalized on a real cross section for this reaction, which was measured at Riken. So, putting the telescope at 20 centimeters from the target, we expect to have five events per day, but for two telescopes. Here we have 10 to the 5 helium 8 per second, but in the end of this year, we could have only 5 to the 4. So, in any case, 5 events per day in total statistics at this intensity could give us more than 100 events, which could be distributed close to the if hydrogen 7 narrow resonance state, these statistics should be enough to say about precise position. Well, the setup could be like this. This is a thin telescope and 1 millimeter thick telescope, which should be installed close to the target. Target should be gas target. This equipment is prepared now in accordance with recommendation last PAC meeting. So we hope to have this intensity of helium-8 and to detect Triton, we should install a magnet, zero angle magnets, with gadoscope, cesium adite array, which is which was built together with German colleague from JSI. Of course, neutron array also important to have triton triple coincidence. So we need close to a 2 month exposition time to have effect on the ground measurement to say exact to improve previous data which was done in Riken several years ago with energy resolution around 2 MeV probably, yeah, 2 MeV. In our case, the energy resolution is expected to be 1.2 MeV from missing mass measurement. So, moving here to a flagship experiment to study hydrogen 7, we should provide condition to accelerate a very intensive beam. At the moment, this area not good surrounded by concrete. This picture was shown last PAC meeting in January. Now this work is going on, and we expect to complete this shielding during summertime. So I am close to the summary. Akulina 2 fragment separator commissioned in last year is now ready for day one experiments. In this year, in the beginning of this year, the program with radioactive beams has been focused on beta delay exotic decays of beryllium 11 at Akulina 1 and helium 6 deuterium scattering and this reaction to populate hydrogen 5 system and see methodical to improve methodical technique. So the method to study low length states of lithium 10 populated in this reaction, neutron transfer reaction from the target on the projectile was tested too. This data under analysis also. So the method could be used in the future for like this system. And finally, I would conclude that the study of the hydrogen 7 and its four neutron decay in the reaction helium 8 on deuterium is proposed for the fall this year, and I hope that this measurement will be effective and successful. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. Questions? Questions?
No questions.
No questions? Here we have one.
Please, Andrei. This Chtiri NDK is one cluster or maybe the question here. What is the you will be study for neutron decay as one cluster?
It's difficult to answer this question. This is the problem for investigation. For neutron emission immediately as a one cluster, not observed yet. So we have only indication from Riken measurement about this system. But of course, we could separate two neutron decay and four neutron decay. Recently, theoretical work by Grigorenko and colleague predict some interesting distribution between angular distribution, first of all, in buff branch of decay. Yes.
Andrei, if you compare the obtained intensity of the, for example, helium 8, helium 6 beam with the calculated one, what's the difference?
The The difference is factor 2, if we compare with Lise estimation or transport estimation, we have a good agreement. Intensity of many radioactive beams, helium 6, 8, etc., lithium 11, agree well. Agree well, I mean, in factor 2. So it depends on difference. Not one factor, one order of magnitude, 3, 3.5, something like this, yeah. Not drastically.
Okay, the second question is, in the, as you shown, the resolution for the helium isotopes is not correct yet. So do you know why and how to improve it? Because this is the critical for the experiment. Yeah, you need really the coincidence with the well-identified helium-3.
I would like to remind you what the same silicon detectors, I mean 22 microns thick, was used in RIKEN, in reaction lithium-11 D helium-3 to absorb helium-10. So this measurement was done together with mass collaboration, and one of our detectors was involved in this measurement. In RIKEN data, we also pointed attention on this significant oscillation of a thickness. So, in the case of without mapping, we say absolutely the same plot. So, when we improved, when this mapping was involved in the analysis, we had very good energy, the separation of helium-3 from our particles. So we have some experience in this data analysis.
So it would be nice to show this, yeah, already with this data. Yeah, you measure the position, so you can correct.
Yes. This measurement was done when alpha source irradiate these detectors, and close to after when we had silicon 1 millimeter silicon with 2 millimeter pixel. So all alphas pass from this thickness, and we see very good mapping. The energy resolution is also important. For example, in DDA BML measurement, one detector from four has very bright looks. Some strips not so good looking. Only first three. In this, if this resolution will be a little bit worse, yes, this mapping could not help. No chance to improve the identification plot. So energy resolution in our case is good enough. It corresponds to the passport data of microns of semiconductor.
Alexei, next question.
You are going to use the deuterium gas target, right? And do you have a plan to install in the experimental area of Akulina 2 tritium target, gas target also in future?
Yes, we start preparing technical documentation for tritium gas target with Sarov people, and we expect to have full complete documentation during 1 year. Okay. When the cyclotron will stopped for recovering, for modernization, we have a plan to build a complex for tritium target. But now everything is ready to work with deuterium and hydrogen. So this work is done.
Is there?
A comment about the question of the identification question. You are using the kinematics coincidence techniques, and with these techniques you need to have very thin spot on the target and you have 2 millimeters, that means that you have a problem with a position resolution, and then you get problem in energy position and also in resolution of the identification of the species.
This is a beam spot to plane of multi-wire before the target. So we have a tracking on the target and extract the interaction point with accuracy better than 2 millimeters, 1.5 millimeters accuracy. So we have a tracking of individual particles on the target. So the beam spot 17 millimeters means what aureole don't not so big to provide good triggering. This is a reason of a good focusing. But in the case of data analysis, we know interaction point with high accuracy. This is a standard technique. Put 2 layers of multi-wire and see the tracking on the target.
As you have this plot on the right side, this is energy loss versus time of flight?
Yes, yes. This is energy
and
loss in plastic versus
this,
time of flight.
And the projection, I think, in the, at the bottom, yeah?
Yes.
Why this shape is so strange? It should be the flat one.
Looks, this is a time of flight in nanoseconds.
Yeah.
So the nanoseconds, we had absolute calibration of time of flight technique. So when we open slits, plus minus 6 millimeters, plus minus 3% in pulse acceptance, it should be a table. You're right, it should be a table if we have a homogeneous distribution. But here we have a buff triggering beam divided by ratio and main triggering. So this is only as a result of triggering. In the case of lithium 8, this cut it. So some particles comes through the frame of time detectors. So we have 2 peaks because
okay.
The trajectory is different.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, thank you again. We go to the next topic, status of the MAV high-resolution magnetic analyzer. And Sergei Vukyanov will present this topic.
So I'm going to say something about MAVR separator
microphone.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So this spectrometer is aimed for separation and identification of the reaction product. MAVR means a Russian abbreviation of Russian name, magnetic analyzer, high resolution. So abbreviation from Russian name, sorry. So it's already was present, introduced to PAC twice during these PACs, many PACs ago. So I believe that my duty now to show some present status of this separator and describe somehow the first experiment which we are aimed to do. So this is list of our collaborators which involved in this program. Mainly we decided some mechanical problem using the Bulgaria. Czech aid us with the data taking, with electronics, with detector. Also we collaborate with Krakow, Ganil, very strong collaborator in this project, Orsay, Vietnam. Also we start collaborate with Texas Cyclotron Institute in Texas and Romania also. So I would like to remind what is MAVR. There is two types of various fragment separator in momentum. There is two classes. One is when we have transformation of beam spot into the plane. This is a main property of our separator. And another class of separator when we have transformation of beam spot into the spot. They are Combass and Aquilina. So we are working on this type of separator when we have transformation from the beam spot to the plane. So this separator very important and very useful for many interesting physical problem, to solve many interesting physical problem, mainly mass missing method, spectroscopy, and etc. Another advantage of our separator, it could be operate at another energy domain with the energy beam less than 20 MeV per nucleon. So this is a schematic view of our separator. Mainly it consists of, did you hear me like this? Consists of a magnetic system which called MCP-144. That is a system of two-coupled dipole magnet in H-shape and C-shape. They are joined together and have the same current, circuit current. So our modification includes that we elaborate new reaction chamber and remove the target position from this point to this point, and for this one we need to put duplet of quadruplets to increase the solid angle. So we, that is a very remarkable spectrometer because this geometry and based mainly on this coupled two-dipole system allow us to reject diverge all program in the backward direction and strongly separate against other background. So we start to calculate so-called envelopes of the beam. So we can see here, we in these calculations show that we are very good inside of the size of this spectrometer and etc. So I have no more time to explain this detail of calculation. So this is a picture from reality, how it looks. You can see here the yoke of the magnetic separator. There is a new quadrupole lens, new target, and two, three guys are working on under this preparation, this spectrometer. So there is some summary about the design specification. As I said, we have a new magnetic optical system based on the dipole system MCP-144 and two quadrupoles. And this modification also allow us to enlarge the solid angle up to the 330 millisteradian. So it by factor 10 in the previous target position. So as designed by the MCP magnetic system, we have very long length of the focal plane, about 2 meters. And another advantage that we have very big momentum acceptance of this separator is defined practically by size of detector which we use in the focal plane. And beside of this big momentum acceptance, we keep very good resolution and dispersion, about 2 centimeters per percent. So we also, it included in our project MAVR, we elaborate new detector system to get to measure precisely mass Z and Q value with absolute accuracy by trajectory reconstruction, by time of flight, energy loss, and total kinetic energy measurement, which could be possible by our detectors, which I will explain a little bit later. So here in this table, I put some characteristics of such type of fragment separator. The layout is given here. We have target, quadrupole, and dipole system. We compare our parameters of our spectrometer with the VAMOS, with the Prisma and Magnix. So we can see the our parameters are very good comparing with the other parameters of other spectrometers. For instance, we have a very good value of dispersion, good resolution, and it's remarkable that we can send all our fragments under interest in the back way direction and reject very strongly all background. So another advantage of MAVR is due to location in the experimental area. So it could be operate both for the primary and secondary beam. So our separator is located on the ground floor, and this beam line we can use both for monochromatization of the primary beam as well as production of the secondary beam. If we put target somewhere here, we can use this system of two dipoles, we call this crane system, to purificate or obtain the secondary beam. So this one, in this transparency, I try to summarize some technical improvement which we reach. I already said about this quadrupole system. Also, besides this new quadrupole system with a high gradient, which specially elaborated for this MCP separator by Kazacha and Melnikov. So we have new power supply system, new vacuum system. You can see here this new modern type of pumps. New target chamber, as already explained. We got very nice primary beam diagnostic system, and already I said some words about the new detector system based on front-end electronics. So I will come to the beginning from the beam. So we have this very nice beam profiler from Ganil. So we test this beam profiler within our agreement in Dupetroa and Dubna, so for half year. So we found that it gives very nice information on the beam position vertically and horizontally. So we check it by beam of Xenon 32 and plan to put in front of our reaction chamber. So what also I have to say, we measure the minimum intensity, and we found this profiler is sensitive 10 to the 7 particle per second. I guess it is somehow related to the secondary beam. We are not able to check the maximum intensity, but the desire of this profiler said that it is up to the 100 micron. So this dynamical range of this profiler is 5 orders. So this profiler so good, and we signed the contract with Pantechnik, and this is number of this contract. It's already signed, and we expect realization of this contract in the end of this year. So now I'm going to the focal plane detector, which we elaborate specially, and again with the help of Ganil. So as I said in my first transparency, we have rather broad beam size inside of separator. Is the principle of operation of such type separator. So we need to make some very precise ray striking. So this ray striking allow us to solve this equation. Additionally, we have to measure energy loss and total kinetic energy. And when we have ray striking, all parameters measured, we can extract that value A and energy and momentum. So by this transparency, I want to say that it's very important for us to measure the coordinate inside of separator. So we are planning to do it by drift chamber from VAMOS. Special thanks people from VAMOS at Ganil who kindly deliver this drift chamber. So it delivers very precise measurement of coordinate of the incoming beam and energy loss. So we expect some information on coordinate of the beam and behind of this drift chamber, we plan to put a mosaic of silicon detectors. So this is rather modern electronics for this chamber was elaborated. And it's based on the ASIC standard. We, honestly speaking, we're a little bit stuck with this one, but nevertheless, I suppose we will succeed and we'll do our best to settle down this ASIC standard to the data taking system. So we also improved the data taking system. As my third thanks to Ganil, they deliver this software for the spectrometer based on the VMAE standard. And special thanks to these guys from Ganil who help us to settle down their software system to our data taking. So this data taking practically has no any restrictions in number of parameters and could be adjustable for ASIC standard in future. So now I'm go to the some physical aspect and some to describe very briefly what type of experiment we plan to do with the our separator. So we have two groups of the experiment. One is related to the stable beam. So we try to see the multi-reaction transfer reaction by oxygen 18 and neon 22 projectile on tantalum and probably uranium target. This experiment is planned in December. Detail I will show a little bit later. And another group of the experiment is aimed with the use secondary reaction, mostly helium, boron 8, carbon 10, and cetera. And total reaction cross section also we plan to do by using some detector device which we put in the focal plane. So why we have interest to the multi-neutron transfer? It was one of the last article of Valery Ivanovich Zagrebaev who did the calculation of the cross section for and compare this cross section calculation with the fragmentation and multi-neutron nucleon transfer. He concludes this big difference and expected the cross section for multi-neutron transfer, for instance, to obtain oxygen 24 and 23 in the reaction transfer is much higher in multi-neutron transfer than in fragmentation. So just recently, the paper of our collaborator Julian Stefan was appeared. They measured and observed 4-neutron transfer. So according to Zagrebaev, it's possible to see neutron transfer up to the oxygen 24. So also, this we have to mention paper of Karpov, who predict also very big, relatively good cross-section for the obtained isotopes of oxygen. Something wrong? So in our experiment, test experiment, we measured oxygen 20, 21, and 22, so we able to see 4-neutron transfer like Julian did, but our cross-section a little bit less because we use tantalum target. So our plan to see transfer of larger amount of neutron up to 6. So this is goal of our experiment, and we try to measure the production of oxygen isotopes at 0 and the grading degree. So this is ability of our separator. Normally we measure energy loss versus remain energy. You can see here there's a lot of blobs. So from this raw picture, we able to reconstruct it into the Z value, into the charge of nuclide in the when this excess neutron excess and Z. So you can see here the resolution is much less than 1 unit. So this is show the how good our separator in the particle identification and how it's precise. So also with respect to neutron transfer, we plan to compare, is it possible to release this difficult process to adding a few neutrons to projectile to release by proton transfer. So we'll try to compare the production of oxygen 22 by neon and oxygen 80. So this experiment is already planned. Just this morning I got this picture that we have experiment on this neutron transfer reaction study in the fall of this year. So now I'm going very briefly to the secondary beam production. So I want to say that in our case, when we use this magnetic spectrometer, the maximum rigidity up to the 1.5 Tesla meter, so our niche and strategy is not fragmentation, is a neutron transfer reaction. So we are thinking about how to produce this interesting guys like boron 8, carbon 12, nitrogen 12, carbon 10 in transfer reaction. We got this idea from our collaborators from Texas, from Cyclotron Institute, and to use a helium-3 target. So we are working on the helium-3 target, it's cell of helium-3, so it's a cooling system, and we are testing, and according to this cool calculation, we should expect very nice rate of boron 8. So our estimation, we can obtain the boron 8 intensity up to the 20-30 kiloparticle per second and do some physics. My time is practically over, no? Okay, 5 minutes, so I can back to this one. So this is the ability of our detector system. We are able to see not only non-reacted particles, also reaction inside of our material of our telescope. We are able to measure momentum distribution as well as fragmentation or breakup of these interesting guys, as shown here. So preliminary, we got something, but we want to increase the intensity boron 8 to the high value. So for this one, we need to put this sophisticated telescope with consistent a few layers of strip detectors and cesium iodide behind to identify the products and reaction on the silicon material. So most interesting also for us, as according to our tradition, to see the boron 8 fusion on lead. For instance, we are able to fuse and radiate by stack of the gold or lead target. I cannot answer on detail of this experiment, but probably we can irradiate this stack of targets and to see the radiation after the experiment. So another interesting nuclear carbon 10 could be also obtained by this helium-3 target. And this is maybe more interesting nuclear because it's called super Brunian nuclear because it's very easy to disintegrate it in 4 parts. More interesting than carbon 9 probably. So also we are thinking about to make some experiment on total reaction measurement. We start this measurement at Akulina. So this data on helium-4, helium-6, and lithium isotopes was obtained by Sobolev, and he measured the excitation function, cross-section versus the energy of the secondary beams. He found some very interesting structure in the cross-section. And we want to improve this setup and to come to this specifically low energy where this niche of this separator energy and U400 cyclotron at the energy up to the 10 MeV. Because normally what we deaccelerate our secondary beam by stack of absorber and this setup and MAVR separator allow us to decrease the statistics and improve the energy resolution of the secondary beam. So to improve the setup, we also try to use this very modern cerebrum-3 plus sodium iodide phosphish detector to see very precisely gamma spectra and to measure the reaction on this silicon detector which located in the center of this very interesting setup to measure the with coincidence gamma and charged particle which pass to this one. So I'm close to finish. Just to stress this conclusion is my own conclusion why we need MAVR. MAVR indeed this universal device study at energy close to to the Coulomb barrier. So for this region we expect a higher cross-section for the reaction as well as production cross-section. Probably the Grybaev and Karpov are correct. So comparing with the TESOL method, which allow us to come to the low energy, by using MAVR, we have very relatively cheaper and method to get the secondary beam like boron 8, carbon 10 at energy about 10 and 50 MeV. So I guess it is a universal device and to obtain some interesting result in this nuclei. So also this device is a universal device to such type of experiment like mass missing method. We are thinking about this one for spectroscopy and other experiment, and maybe something else. So that is last slide, sorry. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Sergei. Adam, please.
Thank you very much. It was a very interesting presentation, which I could learn a lot more than from the report sent before. And as I understand, this MAF is almost ready, or is ready to start. So I have one question, which is related maybe to the physics cases, or to the point which you mentioned at the very end, something else. Because most of the physics cases which you mentioned are typical reaction mechanism studies, which of course they are very interesting in this. But recently one is starting to do combine this with more nuclear structure measurements, as for example in GANU, VAMOS was coupled to the germanium array AGATA, in which exactly this multi-transfer reactions and gamma rays coming from the created nuclei will measure, giving an information about, for example, about lifetimes. So my question is, do you foresee in the future going into this direction, namely adding in additionally a germanium array, high efficiency germanium array?
So thank you for question. Of course, for this moment, we have to find some compromise because we have to be sure that our setup is good. So why we choose not very perspective reaction study, multi-neutron transfer. So, and some, this is just general idea. So another technical idea, we especially need to make experiment how the big the background in this area when we are working. So our previous measurement showed there is a very strong background. And why we try to start to see background on you Paris detectors. Firstly, we will estimate that, and after that, we will think about future perspective which you suggest.
Okay, next question. Christian.
You mentioned two teams of investigation, multinucleon transfer that are studied at GANIL and Lenyao, and also clustering in carbon 10 and Bohr 8. There is already some studies for Bohr 8. I am not sure what do you mean by cluster states in Bohr 8?
Yes, you already criticize our experiment, but for instance, for me, the conclusion about one proton galore structure in boron 8 was withdrawn when the people compared the total reaction cross section for boron 8 and beryllium 7. But are you sure the beryllium 7 inside of boron 8 has the same structure like a free nuclear? So we want to measure directly one proton removal cross section from boron 8. So this is our idea, because Blank and other collaborator, they just, and also Tanihata, what he did it for lithium 11, he takes the lithium, helium 8 is better, helium 8 and helium 4. They subtract two cross-section from the two cross-section measurement, independent cross-section, for helium 8 and helium 4. But as we know, the proton structure of helium 8 is different proton structure helium 4. So what we suggest to do it for neutron rich isotopes very complicated. But for proton rich nuclear life for carbon 9, carbon 10 and boron 8, it's much easier because we can use detector for identification and as well as to detect the fragments of breakup of these products. If I understood your question correctly, are you satisfied?
Okay.
Zeblon?
Thank you. I just wanted to understand the point of clarification on some technical issue. You mentioned three other spectrometers, the magnets, LNL, and GANIL. But to my understanding, that there was a Cape Town, RNCP Osaka, and Darmstadt group that worked, and they achieved almost the world record in running these types of spectrometers with low dispersion that you mentioned as a problem at almost zero. You know, they almost got they ran it at a zero mode. So have you, are you aware of that collaboration that actually was able to work and reach a world record on running in the zero mode? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. When we see on this the first transparency about the collaborators, there is some free space here. Please collaborate. So here's a free space. So we need new blood, of course, yeah.
Next question. Let me.
You said about reconstruction of trajectory. What is the reason for this? What is the aim? One side of this question. The other side, if you use active element between target and detector, you are not sure in the right in your trajectory.
Yeah, because when we look on this envelopes trajectory calculation, you can see here this from this point to this the time of light different. So we need to measure precisely path inside of magnetic spectrometer to have correct time of light value. So we need to make ray striking. But for some very primitive experiment, when we want to see just something not very precise, we can able to put very small detectors, but we want to see as much as possible.
Okay, other questions? Probably for, you can add also for this other differences between MAVR and, for example, Aquilina 2, that you can measure also reactions at the different angles. In principle, you can move spectrometer from zero,
For
stable ion beams and radioactive ion beams, it might be additional information which is interesting. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Oh, at least few degrees, it's interesting. Yeah,
we have this platform to move our magnetic system around the target.
If there are no other comments, let's thank Sergei again. And let's go to the next topic, which is in fact information, which will be given on the supercomputer Gavrun, new prospects for heterogeneous computations in nuclear physics. And the talk will be presented by Dmitry Podgaini. Sorry if I don't pronounce correctly.
Yes, okay, good afternoon, everyone. I will talk about our new high-performance computing facility, about our new supercomputer Govarun, and the presentation of our new supercomputer took place in our laboratory on March 27 in frames of a session of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries, and so this presentation attracted many attention and received wide coverage in the Russian mass media. And so this is a joint project of our laboratory and laboratory of Bakalyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics, and it project was supported by GNR Directorate, and the main goals of such project is radically accelerate of complex theoretical and experimental studies underway at GNR, and of course including the NICA complex. Our supercomputer named after Nikolai Nikolaevich Govorun. He was one of the founders of our laboratory, and he made so much for development of information technologies in our laboratory, and his role is hardly overestimated, of course. And, why need a supercomputer? It's a very natural question, and of course the answer is also natural, because modern experimental installations, especially in field of higher energy physics, required more and more calculation power, and required more efficient computing and information tools and so on. And one of the probable answer for this questions is using a supercomputer in such fields. So development of HPC in our laboratory, we start operate with heterogeneous computational system at 2014, and in this year we introduce a first our heterogeneous platform. It's named Hybrid, and it was small enough, and only 50 teraflops for double precision, and only 140 teraflops for single precision. And today we have a much more growth system, growth about 10 times. For supercomputer Govorun, now we have 500 teraflops for double precision and 1 petaflops for single precision. Of course, it's a peak performance. And so today we have a heterogeneous platform which contains two parts. One of them is education platform, which we use for teach students and young science on modern technologies of modern parallel technologies, and for testing a new hardware and a new IT technologies in HPC sphere. And our second part is the supercomputer Govorun. All platform have unified software and information every moment.
Excuse me, can you speak a little bit up, louder?
Okay. Yes, please. Our information every moment contains two parts. It's system level. It contains unified operation system, Linux 4.4, batch system, Slurm, different type of file systems which we use on Hybrid, on supercomputer Govorun, and also we have many useful formation services for supporting our users. And we have a site, information system Indigo, GitLab, and so on. And so today we have a supercomputer Govorun. It contains two parts. One of them is a CPU part, and is a revolutionary ultra-high dense HPC solution. I will speak a little bit more about later. And second part contain GPU accelerators by NVIDIA. And on this slide we can see some historical now historical photography, how it was set up. GPU component, it contained five servers, calculation nodes by NVIDIA. It's named the GX1, and each of such server contain 8 Tesla V100 cards, and each server have 60 teraflops double precision and 120 teraflops for single precision. And so totally on GPU component we have almost 600 teraflops for single precision. And so it's help such powerful system, it's help use some program applications software for adopted for GPU, and you can see here some applied software which already adopted on GPU, like GAMES, GROMAX, LAMS. It's useful for calculation fields of molecular dynamics and some quantum calculation and so on, and in the future much more package will be adopted by NVIDIA for calculation with using graphical accelerators. Besides such application, BGX1 allows us to use modern machine learning frameworks, and as example I show you some task which was done on our platform. It's was development deployment algorithm for the track reconstruction for BMTN experiment with GM detectors, and was developed machine learning algorithms for the identification and separation of the neutron and gamma ray signals obtained from the diamond detector. And as you see, we reach a very, very good efficiency for solving both tasks. And so our another component is CPU component, and its component contain also two parts. One of them based on Intel Xeon Phi scalable processor, and second one based on the Intel Xeon Phi. But for before introduce such component in operation, we built a new engineering infrastructure for this component with direct hot liquid cooling, and now we have a very energy efficient system, and it's most energy efficient system in Russia. Here you can see a special coefficient which characterizes the efficiency of cooling for cooling system. And so, as I say, we was built a new infrastructure for CPU component, and our service with CPU looks like how it's shown here. And so for effective management of engineering systems, we have a very developed monitoring system which allows watch for every points of engineering, like water pumping. We can measure the temperature of water, pressure of water in real time, and so the system allows have us high availability and fail-safe system. And if more detail about our CPU components. We have 21 calculation nodes with Intel Xeon Phi processors and 40 calculation nodes with Skylake processors, and totally 80 processors, and it's power enough system, and total performance around more than 200 teraflops in double precision. For efficient manage of such components, we have a multi-level management software, and it allows us to easily to operate our system, and not only for calculation, but also for using some cloud technology, for example. And with system and using so-called hyper-convergent technology, our colleagues from RSK company also construct so-called file system on demand on our CPU component, and so it's allow use different type of file system like Lustre, EOS, and so on. And system on demand and mean that user defined properties of calculation system which he will use. And so, of course, our supercomputer Gavarni we will use for answer and some questions from Nika Computing and for accelerate such task like work of physical generators, detector simulation. We will use a new algorithm for track reconstruction and for the big data analysis. And of course, as I said before, one of the main goal of our system is we reach a significant acceleration for theoretical investigation in different fields of research. And one of those fields is, for example, lattice QCD. And here you can see some examples of using our system for the first example is MPI calculation of microscopic nucleus optical potentials. And for this task, we reach acceleration almost 20 times using our processors. And second example is numerical simulation of formation of hydrated electron states. And for this problem, we reach acceleration around 10 times using our system. And also, we have a possibility to use special applied software like COMSOL multiphysics, but not only COMSOL, but also MATLAB, Mathematica, Maple, and Zen4, Root, and so on. But we have a special service. It's named Hybrid Virtual Desktop, Ashlit VDI, and so it allows from virtual machine make calculation on supercomputer infrastructure, and it's turn it allow to get acceleration for calculation in frame such applied packages like COMSOL, for example. And so a few words about user policy on Gavarni. And of course, first priority, access to the our system is reached by scientists and research teams which work in the frames of the topical plans for general research and for control of access and determining the priority of access will be organized a user committee, and members of the user committee is percentages of the laboratories of GNR and percentages adopted by plenipotentials of the GNR member states. And so for easily, we get easily access to our resource in our laboratory, developed a new service, Cloud Plus HPC, and it's allowed to get easily access through the combined cloud infrastructure between our laboratory and cloud infrastructure in member states of GNR. And so some future developments which we plan in our governance system, it's add to a new component connected with fast system storage based on a new type of solid state drivers formed on NMVE, and so we hope that such extension is help us to solve a new type of task, for example, modeling for the data flow for the NICA experiment. And so my conclusion is follow. Our supercomputer is a national continuation of our existing heterogeneous platform, at least to a significant increase in performance of both CPU and GPU component, and such increase of our performances will help to accelerate of theoretical and experimental investigation which carried out in our institute. And so, of course, our team will prepare the IT specialist in all directions, like using, for example, using modern parallel program technologies and so on. Okay, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you. So now we have, I think, the full information on this new computer system. And but if you would like to learn more, the questions, maybe a short one. If you, I guess this system has also a connection with the computer grid of CERN, and so I guess it's organized somewhere. Yeah, it's also Dubna groups are analyzing also LSC experiments. And the second question, if you compare, this is a question of non-specialists. So if you compare to the similar systems, distributed system for LAC, like tier from 0, 1, 2, so at which level we can situate the complex which you presented? Tier 1 or 2?
It's closer to tier 2. But okay. Of course, it's our system is it's not large enough to compare, for example, with tier 0 in CERN.
Oh, of course, yeah. And the connection to the CERN computing system?
Yes, we have some connection, and I guess we will make some calculation for LHC experiments.
Я, colleagues. We have four infrastructure in, complex. One complex tier one for CMS, third tier two complex for many experiments, LHC, CMS, Atlas, Alice, LHCB, Nova, at Fermilab Star, Brookings International Laboratory, Best Free China, and other experiments. But supercomputer Govaron not used for high energy physics, and we used supercomputer Govaron for theoretical physics, biology, nanotechnology, modeling, machine learning, and we support. We proposal to organize investigation in nuclear physics using supercomputer Govaron now. And we organized cloud infrastructure for GINR and member states or Joint Institute for Nuclear Research to access from cloud infrastructure to our tier one, tier two, and supercomputer Govaron from member state or joint institute for nuclear research.
Thank you. I don't see other questions, so we'll have now the coffee break for 20 minutes. Thank you. Thank you, all speakers.